Welcome to Fast Cars, Fast Girls with Abby and Molly.
Hey everyone, a bit of a bonus episode for you on this awesome Monday after a super exciting qualifying weekend. This past weekend, we had an opportunity to sit down with Chris Wheeler of Bell Helmets at their storefront in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And then later on in the weekend, we had a brief chat with Dr. Billows, who's head of IndyCar Medical. So hope you enjoy these. We'll be dropping our full episode on Wednesday, going over everything that happened. So stay tuned. And as always, thank you for listening.
What's up?
That's Chris. How are you doing?
I'm awesome.
Good. Good.
I'm awesome. It's a beautiful Fast Friday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
It's a hot one out there. Be careful. It's a hot one.
Yeah, it's like Florida hot today.
Yeah.
It's Florida hot.
No, it's not.
Florida. Says the kid from Jupiter, Florida Center in the background.
That's true. Yeah, it's all right.
So, yeah. Let's,
We are okay. Yeah.
You're all set.
We're slowly getting some of the situation here in our office sorted out. People leave us alone.
That's okay. You know, those drivers are very needy people.
No, they should be good now. As long as they don't try and put themselves across the concrete again for a while, we'll be all right.
God in heaven.
So, yeah, so what's going on, ladies? What are we doing?
I think we're just chatting with you.
You want to make some magic? What are we doing here?
Whatever you want. Just kind of run through it.
All right. Well, here I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
We're going to start this off backwards.
Okay.
36 cars entered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 35 active as of right now after Kyle Kaiser fences it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who qualifies 34th and 35th?
I bet I could guess who you want to qualify.
Yeah, we can.
You probably could, but
you know.
But realistically,
I'm actually gonna go with an unpopular opinion. It's so far, it's been not great for McLaren.
It's true.
They're gonna be on the bubble.
Yes, they will. They will be on the bubble. Yeah.
I
think it's a very different month of May for them than last time.
They pull magic out of the air. But I don't want it, but I think Hanley and Dragon Speed's going to have a tough chance getting in there. And then...
Well, this is what's beautiful about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
I said, my answer was going to be, it could be anybody.
Yeah,
that's just it. And that's what makes this place so special.
I mean, it could be willpower.
Is that like...
You don't know.
All personal beliefs and reasoning aside, like...
Yeah.
All 36 of them are making the effort, and that's more hell of a lot more effort than I'm making.
That's so, true. Yeah, like.
But
yeah.
I'm really pumped, though, that it's going to stop at 33, and we're not going to bend the rule, and we're not going to make a concession, and we're not going to hand out a participation trophy.
I think that's how it has to stay.
I like
absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll
absolutely.
Say that.
The fastest 33 souls.
Yes.
Yes.
I like that.
Not the best, most political souls.
Nope. Who's
not
ever
the
quicker?
Most well-branded
nope.
souls. Not the biggest advocate for dogs and spayed and neutering souls. Just the 33 fastest.
Yep. I think there are thousands, tens of thousands of fans who agree with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Based on the open test at the end of April, I enjoyed, as I came up, I took a picture of somebody who had spray painted hashtag fastest 33 and just spread it across their windshield. Like they came parked, put it across the windshield of like, in case you don't talk to me and I don't get to say it to you, I just want everybody to know how I feel about this. And I was like, I'm here for that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're at that time though. It's Fast Friday. Guys are trimming out.
Speeds are going up.
They're trying to look for solo runs.
Mm-hmm.
And this place has the ability to remind you that either you respect it or you go home.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things we always say is the track chooses, and she chooses who's going to win, and sometimes she chooses who needs to be reminded.
She's a harsh
she's very,
mistress.
Very harsh here.
Yeah, she likes sarsaparilla.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we actually feel like this is going to be a great year for Hench because, you know, he had the year where he crashed and almost died, and then he came back and won the pole.
Yeah.
And then he
was
bumped last year.
Right?
So it's like, we're like, I mean, he can come back. I mean, he can come back and win this year. It's kind of like, well
that's just it.
Now you remember.
Yeah, we talked about that last night at dinner with Hench having that, you know, odd year streak going. It's one of those things. It'd be a fantastic story.
It would be.
You know, all the guys there at Aerosmith Peterson are just good people.
They are.
Every staff member there, you can't say a bad thing about any of them. So,
no.
I'm a little biased because I think their team manager is the best in the business, but
okay.
It'd be really cool for them. Or, you know, just for the team's sake, we could put Erickson up there. You know, he wears a bell. Jack Harvey and Meyer Shank.
I would lose my mind if he won.
Pretty much all I care about right now is that everybody's safe and one of the 18 people wearing a bell helmet wins the race.
There you go.
Yep.
I understand that here. Safety.
We do it all for the Graham.
Exactly.
Speaking of Graham Ray Hall, another one. If he could just pull this thing
off. That would be very smooth.
We would burn this place down.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Or at least drink a lot of Fireball trying.
Are you going to be in East End with us tomorrow? Because that's all we're doing tomorrow.
No, tomorrow no East End. I've retired from spotting. I've retired from going to East End. I don't even want to be in the general vicinity.
Oh, no, that's our we're not working day. So
yeah, but see, that's always been my working day.
So I just
avoided it at all. Like, I don't even like going in gate 2 now because it's too close to turn 1 spotter stand. I want to go through gate 9 every day.
You got a little PTSD.
Yeah.
I start
yelling car links randomly.
5 behind.
Yeah.
3 behind.
Yeah.
On your left. Outside. Oh, God.
Clearish.
So, Chris, I think if you could talk them through, like, what Bell does on...
Maybe do a real...
So, hey, I'm just...
You guys actually have to work. So.
I know.
I'm here for whatever you guys want to talk about.
No, come on. Yeah. Tell us about this, because this is one of our favorite things to learn. Everybody sees everybody wear the helmets.
Yeah.
Everybody sees everything, but, like, not a lot of people understand it, and that's something we love.
Well, it's something that we're really proud of. You know, Bell's been around since 1954, and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, since day one, has been... You know, where we truly, truly are able to prove and innovate. And for us to be you know, fortunate enough to have our trackside workstation here, our trackside DNA center is what we call it, that's really good things for us. It allows us to be here. Like I said, we have 18 drivers trying to qualify for the 103rd Indianapolis 500 wearing a Bell helmet. There's so much history and legacy, but out of this facility right here, every day, 18 helmets come back in. We'll clean them, we'll disassemble visors, clear off the tear offs that are left, get rid of the visor panel. We have the ability to, you know, inspect post crashes, you know, but in a normal day, like we'll roll in 7:38, some of the guys will, bless you. And then, just kind of do rounds, do checks. Some of the engineers might want different wicker placement for that day and just make sure everybody's good. Shield color, maybe with cloud cover change, guys might want a different color on. We'll get those swapped out, and we'll monitor them running all day long. You can see we've got the big TV here. We'll monitor helmet movement for our guys as well as our competitive helmet manufacturers. We'll monitor this stuff. We'll make trips up and down pit lane, and we'll take notice of where wickers are placed. The AFP has thrown a bit of a curveball at us this year.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact science behind it, but it's obviously splitting air, and air's detaching, and then joining back into a stream, and it's done some very unfortunate things to the helmet movement.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we've got decades and decades of data that we can pour through, and you know, we're led by Kyle Kitzman, who's been coming to the Speedway since the 90s with Bell. He has a lot of knowledge, and he's always ready to kind of hand over the tools, whatever we need to do the job. And like I can. confidently sit here right now as we watch cars on Fast Friday and we watch, you know, other types of helmets move around, that ours aren't nearly as bad as the others. I think we have the advantage on that. Mm-hmm. We had 5 staff members here at the open test.
Oh, wow.
Just to be safe, right? Some of these other helmet guys didn't have anybody here. So we take a lot of pride in that. You know, we really push to enhance, you know, comfort and driver performance also with our helmets. It's not just strap this thing on and avoid the bugs. We'll see you in a few hours. Yeah. You know, we're pushing every day, and so we're fortunate to be able to be here. Though obviously we have our Main Street Speedway office, which is where our racing program is based out of, as well as our digital and social content group. But okay, that's driver 7-iron with the wind at your back. I mean, so we're right there, but just to be right here makes us that much, you know, better off, and we can service our guys.
Yeah, so, like, just to kind of circle back, so, like, the drivers will actually, like, end of the day, they're going to be like, hey, here's my helmet. You'll take a look at it for them.
Come back in, they drop them off.
Wow.
We line them up on the rack one at a time. We'll pull them off. There's usually 2 technicians.
I had no idea you guys did that.
I'll give them times. And,
yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, because it's more than just safety, like you said, you know. But But yeah, it's like, I mean, you inspect all the other equipment at the end of the day. Why would you not inspect the helmets? Yeah.
Exactly. And then, you know, we work with great partners like, you know, Speedbead from Stoner, and they make a great product that gets the bugs off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so we use that, and you wipe the stuff off. You want them to look good, right? I mean, they're representing your brand as well as their sponsors. You don't want, I don't want to get on the IndyCar media site and see a picture of a helmet covered in bugs. So, we do our best to clean them up, and, you know, certain drivers like certain colored shields, certain drivers like certain types of tear-offs, different quantities of tear-offs they pull from different sides.
Talk a little bit more about that. So, like, what are your options for different colors and...
On the visors, you'll see anything from a light smoke to a dark smoke. New Garden's rocking a red right now. Bourdais rocking a silver because he has the black helmet. Ray Hall's going with blue this week.
Interesting.
Mateus Lace just went back to light smoke. Ed Carpenter's rocking a dark smoke. So, but that stuff changes, right? So Spencer Pigot yesterday had a light smoke on. He walked out of the garage 20 minutes before runtime today and said, let's go with dark smoke today. Fernando Alonso the same way. He's got his helmet sitting in his garage, and he keeps his primary and his backup there. But he also has like two or three additional shields prepared that are all different tan or different colors. And then when he pokes his head out before he runs, he makes a decision on what color he wants to put on.
Interesting.
So yeah, and some guys, Marco, he runs a tear off that's very, I consider it old school. It's individual tear offs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the other guys, they run a pre-laminated stack of 10.
Ah.
Right, so you can get 6 Marcos on. It's a chore. These other guys, you can slap 10 on. It's no big deal, just because the way that the different type of stuff. But each driver has their own preference.
That's so interesting.
Yeah,
because you see them usually after like the pit, you see them pull the stuff off, and it's
I always enjoy it when they're running. It's like they just throw.
That's tough, right?
It's kind of because it's like they're littering, and so it just kind of makes me chuckle because like.
$1,200 fun.
Yeah, exactly.
That's never good.
Track inspection?
Is? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That's Fred from Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little nice. Understeer, done.
Yep.
Pinball,
yep. Perfect. Oh.
Did not, in fact, buff out.
Nope.
Nope. So it's more than just, keeping their heads safe in the event of a crash. It also, like you said, I mean, that affects the clarity and how much they can see on the track,
our efforts in the sport aren't just here at Indianapolis. We're the only helmet manufacturer that has a representative on site at every IndyCar race, every IndyCar test, every Road to Indy test, and every
Fantastic.
Road to Indy race.
Yeah.
So Packy, who's actually my dad, he handles all that, and he kills it, does a fantastic job. But it's even further on than that. I mean, we'll be trackside doing service for our athletes at approximately 160 nights of racing this year.
Yeah, because you guys also do, like, the NHRA you're a part
of. We'll be at some NHRA shows. Yeah. We do a lot of dirt track racing. Yeah. We do a lot of NASCAR racing.
I was about to say, a lot of dirt track guys.
You know, we were just talking last night. You know, we got Knoxville coming up here shortly.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we go to Knoxville, we're there for Jacob, who's here today. Jacob and I will be there for, I think... 13 days in Iowa, middle of August. It's not Florida hot there at all.
Nope. No, that's Midwestern hot.
But so we'll be there with those guys for the Knoxville 360 410 Nationals. We'll be Indiana Sprint Week, Indiana Midget Week.
Yeah.
Probably 10 to 12 Cup shows this year. So, and then of course, every time you have an off day and you sit around on a Sunday in Central Indiana and you wonder what you're going to do, get your ass to Kokomo. That's what they say, right?
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
So you go to Kokomo Speedway, the baddest bull ring in the Midwest, and go see non-league sprint car racing.
It's good.
I can say this now because it's been long enough since I've had that job. My first time that I went to Kokomo, a bunch of my cousins were there, and they live in Kokomo, but they still camp out and do the whole thing. Oh, yeah. And so I was working nights, and a couple of them were in from out of town. I'm like, oh, I'll pop over after work. So I said, text me when. I said, whoever the last person to bed is, text me and tell me what supplies you need. I'll hit Walmart on my way. Like, I said, I'll bring Bloody Marys, mimosas, whatever. We'll have a good time. So I show up about 8 a.m. and wake them all up. They all went to bed about 4:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. Wake them up, make them start drinking again because it's the end of my day, and by noon, who was calling into work sick, because I was like, I think I'm going to have to stay. This is too much fun. And I was just, that place is a blast.
It's a blast.
You
it definitely
can't.
Is.
And you can't beat the crowd.
No.
Yeah. Oh. No, I wholeheartedly agree. Get your ass to go if you got nothing else going on.
I think people don't understand what all goes into like the helmets.
Well, you know? it's just the journey that we've been on to be here. I mean, if you look over on the shelf, one of the very first full face helmets is there. It's got a fixed shield and recess inside the helmet.
That's so weird.
I mean, you couldn't even adjust the shield. Yeah. You look up to the very top, you see the orange one that's destroyed. That was Saul Walter from the start of the 1973 Indianapolis 500.
Wow.
His car split and he slid his head across the track. Come a long way from that. Then to look at, you know, Jake right now is across from us working on Oliver Askew's HP7 that he ran at the Indy GP and is now getting prepared for the Freedom 100.
Yeah.
You know, as Oliver looks to campaign for an Indy Lifestyle. So
It's amazing. Like we keep saying, people think, oh, it's just on their head, that's it. But there's so much that goes into it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, yes.
This is one of Jacob's. This is one of Jacob's deals. This is our cutaway helmet.
Oh, I'm so into this.
Okay. So I would offer it for you guys to take it home, but my computer won't let me sell anything half off.
That's right. I like this.
Dad jokes are
great. That was a hardcore dad joke.
Dad jokes are great. So one of the cool things here, and you guys, I'll pass this around, so you can see the different layers of foam, but you can also really get in here and you can feel the different thicknesses, stiffnesses of it. So you can see how when an object comes in and strikes the helmet, how the different layers could absorb that energy and dissipate it back around.
Yeah. I'm going to turn it so the camera can see it. I mean, it's almost like your own safer barrier inside of the car.
Absolutely.
Or inside of the helmet.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because you got to dissipate that energy some way.
It's got to go somewhere because we don't want it on our heads.
Well, no.
I'm
a nurse and I've worked in trauma and I'm like, yeah, no, we definitely want all that energy dissipated before you get anywhere near the skull. So. Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the thing. I mean, and that's kind of what...
Cool.
You know, really, really, really lucky to have the group that we have that works here.
Yeah.
Because every one of us does this for a personal reason, too. It's not just a job, right? You just don't go to work and say, I'm going to work on helmets. It's going to save somebody's ass when they hit the fence at 240.
Sure.
That's not what you do. But it's like I've had 16 concussions and 2 brain bleeds in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've gotten pretty lucky. Mm-hmm. So now I get the opportunity to help talk to people, communicate, and you know, consumer education is the biggest thing in our business. And that's people understanding why a good helmet is important, why working with a company that has this technology is important. You know, Jacob's the same way. Jacob raced for a long time. He also played a lot of football, Indiana high school football.
Oh, gosh,
He's had his marbles rolled around a couple times. But he's very passionate about it, you know, and making sure that it doesn't matter if you're racing a street stock at Putnamville on a Saturday night or you're running the Indianapolis 500, we want everybody that straps on a Bell helmet to be able to go home safe to their family.
Definitely.
And absolutely. So that's really why we do this. You know, the stories are fun, right? Like Joseph Newgarden, IndyCar champion, that was awesome, right? Because he wears a Bell and he Joey Logano last year in the Monster NASCAR Cup Series winning, that was great, right? All these cool things, but like the ones that really matter are when you get that email or that thank you card from somebody in the mail that says, here's a picture of my helmet. And then here's a picture of me with my 3 kids and my wife the next day. So thank you. Like, because that's what means the most. So.
Yeah.
That's why we're here, though. That's why we pour literally. We don't have off days. Even, I mean, from my honeymoon to vacations, there's not a day my phone doesn't ring.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick it up. Jake just recently moved to Indianapolis. He's been living in Petersburg, Indiana for over a year.
Yep.
Traveling back and forth.
That's a horrible drive.
From the state line. But he did it out of passion for what we do.
Yeah.
And our entire group is like that. And so.
That's awesome. So you've raised some, but like you said, you guys all, you know, have a passion in it. So how did you say end up where you are? What's your story as to how you got the racing bug?
From Long Beach, California, originally.
Oh, okay. Car culture.
And my dad actually, he was a bit of an entrepreneur, owned a few different types of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
One of them he was involved with in the off-road world was making stickers at the time. They're all die-cut. Mm. Like, there was no printers. You had a light bar table, and you had to overlay logo on top of logo for multicolor action there. And the couple that he was business partner with, they got a divorce, and he grabbed his stuff and dipset. Said, out. So you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom was actually working for a massive networking company. She was in Minnesota at the Mall of America, helping network that place before it opened. And... my dad's accountant owned part of an IndyCar team. Formerly, it was PIG Racing. Vince Neil drove for him.
Oh.
Ted Prappas came here with Larry Curd calling the shots in the early, early 90s, 90, 91 area. I think they showed up with Cheever in 93. So his accountant said, hey man, you know, you can make the same, you could sell the same sticker in IndyCar for $4 that you can only sell for $1 in off-road. My dad said, pulling in the right direction.
Yeah.
Well, my dad had a CDL when he was a kid because the family had a roofing company. And so he took a truck driver and fueler job under the condition that he could take his plotter, his computer, and two boxes of vinyl on the road with him. They said, sure, man. And it was like, you know, a few races into the year, they were loud in New Hampshire, and somebody needed something.
Mm.
And it was the first time it interfered with my dad's day job, but they needed something. Like, I think Cart at the time needed a decal. And so he literally called my mom and said, I need you to quit your job and get on the next flight to Loudon, New Hampshire. And she says, where's that? But I mean, she's from Chico, California. She's lived in Long Beach. She's like,
what airport are I going to? Like, I mean, what? I'm in, but...
And remember, we didn't have Kayak back then. You couldn't just type in a location that gives you the closest 15 airports. Like,
right.
You had to, like, look, get in the yellow pages. You had to call Delta's desk line, and you had to say, what's the closest airport to this city?
Yeah.
Oh. And, yeah, that's back when you could literally walk up and buy a ticket and walk on a plane. Right. So,
I mean, you could still walk straight through and, like, wave goodbye to your family at the gate.
Even but don't forget, like, my dad had a landscaping company also in this. And, like, here she was, you know, insurance, two kids, the whole bit. And God love her. She said okay.
Wow.
And the first decal she made was a Mobile One decal for Raul Boisel's helmet.
Okay.
Oh.
She still has the helmet because she got it later on in life.
Yeah.
So that moved us to here, to Indianapolis in 94, the winter of 94. Pretty big year, blizzard-wise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
welcome to Indy.
Yeah, that was cool. And so that's really it. You know, for the next 22 years, they went on to provide on-site service to even during the split, CART and IRL, like they did Bolt, Champ Car, they did everything. And then, man, you know, I did what I did, and lucky Kyle Kitzman was able to sponsor me at Bell there for a while. And then I think I started spotting in maybe 06, 1 year out of high school. I think, because I just did it for the last 13 years. And it was good. It was actually Chris Griffiths, who's formerly with Sam Schmidt, who's since passed on.
Yeah.
He was at my parents' house picking up decals, and he said, hey, I need a spotter for this test tomorrow. Are you open? And I said, sure. Well, my dad started spotting in 03 for Dixon when they did the merger, or when they came over. And so I spotted for Jay Howard that next day at a test, who I'd known because I worked with Jay in karting. And then they asked me to do the race, and they asked me to do the race at the 500 with Erickson Dare. And that's just kind of where it stuck with. So I did that for a little while, and then everybody came over, and Mitch Davis called me. Because Dale Coyne said, we need spotters? What else do we need to spend to come to this series? Mm-hmm. And so Mitch Davis hired me for Bruno, and then I think we ran through Lloyd and Jakesy, and then spent a few years with Justin Wilson. Mm-hmm. And then I finished my seventh year with Bordet last year.
Wow.
So I went from when I first started working for him, it was kind of like, cool, yeah, whatever, and it's a paycheck, to, you know, we go on vacation together. So it's super good to do.
Yeah.
So I keep I'm looking at you guys, but I'm also looking at Noto reports here right now, because I'm just really anxious to see when Seb throws on another set of tires.
Yeah.
See what he and Craig Hampson have cooked up.
It's gonna be good. It's always good to hear with them.
He's one of those, you can always count on him to throw up some good speeds here.
Definitely.
Some guys are dropping some stuff though here. Ray Hall went 229.4 with a no-toe.
Okay.
But Carpenter's 229.8 no-toe. So that's good. That's Bell 1. To see how, that's how I read this stuff. I read it by what helmet they wear.
That's nice. Interesting.
I wonder who's third on the no-toe. I can't even see. That's why I don't spot anymore. Rossi's third. Newgarden fourth. That's cool. Herta fifth. Marco sixth. Seb seventh. So there's, out of the top seven, there's only one non-Bell. So that makes me happy.
Good. It's all because
probably because our helmets aren't buffeting as bad as the others.
I know. There you go. That's been real interesting to watch with that new AO.
We call it the nubbin.
The nubbin.
Yeah, it.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, just saying.
It's caused a little bit of stress and anxiety.
Yeah.
But it's all good. It's not like it's something that's stupid that everybody hates. Like,
no.
Right.
Like the rear bumper.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is actually something that is designed to do good for us and for the name of safety. So I can't be mad at the device. It's just frustrating.
Like, because now all of a
sudden, when I got to go back to the drawing board, you're like,
yeah.
So it's like, I'm not a physicist. Why are you doing so hard?
So what happens when that, because like, that open test had started and everybody kind of lost their mind. How do you guys adapt?
Well, that's
to that?
What sucked, right? Is the weather rolled in and we didn't get a full day of testing that day. So so you had one guy who's freaking out about it, another guy says it's fine, just drive it. And it's like, okay, here we go. So you got to look at all the different equations, right? So the equations are driver height in the car, driver head position forward, backward, windscreen height, head pad, driver head pad tightness and thickness. So those are four variables that I can't control.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do with those four.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Ooh. So we just have to look into our box of tricks and look at our data and look at our research. And then, you know, we have a really good relationship with every one of our athletes and their engineers.
Oh, good.
And so we can speak openly with them about what they do. And they can know that when I leave their garage after talking with them, it stays with me and them.
That's lovely.
And so... But also at the end of the day, you don't get by with much here anymore because every team has like a third cousin that they give a pass to and they say, here's a nice camera and act like you know what you're doing. But we really want you to go take pictures of this part of the car. It's just a fact.
It is. No, it totally is.
For those of you at home, if you're watching, you know, live practice in the speedway one day, you think, wow, look at all those photographers. Yeah. They're pretty much all being paid by the teams to be there.
They're planted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
They actually, in the photography meeting this morning, they're like, I mean, we've been asked that if you're in a vest, don't take pictures of, like, this part of the car. And I was like, okay, but you realize everybody else who's a plant, like, I'm not a plant.
Yeah.
But it's like, pay me, but, like, okay, but everybody else sees it. It's open, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, the stuff the teams go through training-wise, like, we were watching earlier with the coverage on the NBC Gold, and they were setting the rear wing angle in Connor's car, and the camera came up around the right front corner. And the mechanic had enough insight while doing his job to know that he needed to take one step right.
Wow.
And block what the angle gauge read as the camera came through. And then you could see him step right back out of the way since the camera had gone. And I was like,
dang.
Somebody's been doing their homework.
Exactly. Right? Like, yeah, like props.
Yeah, somebody give that guy a high five for head on a swivel. Yeah. Oh, let me just slip in here real quick.
Oh. That's amazing. Yeah, I guess people don't realize how many of the variables you guys have, like, no hand in, like, the tall... I
mean, but easily gets put on you, like, well, you guys need to change the...
Well, that's just it. Like, you know, everything's like, hey, my helmet's moving, you need to fix it. I'm like, okay.
You're like, well, the helmet's not the reason that your head's moving, actually.
So let's do this.
Like, well, we can do what we can do, but...
Yeah, no, we did a lot. I mean, we work with these guys great, and they come to us, the engineers will come in, and we'll close the door and say, well, this is what we find, this is what we think's best. You know, run this windscreen up. I'm sorry that we're getting, you know, it's really expensive drag for what you're doing, but this is what it is. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't care how trimmed out and how fast your race car is, the dude driving it can't see, you can't see. So,
yeah, well, there's that.
So, at the end of the day, I guess we win that battle.
I think that's the card you get to pull out. Well, can he see, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you go on a long weekend with your friends and you come home and tell a story, and it's like, but did you die?
But did you die?
Yeah, exactly.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the motto we live by, actually.
So what kind of can you tell me what kind of variables you guys can control? Or?
Yeah, I mean, we've got different wickers. We've got short, medium, long. IndyCar has a really strict set of rules as far as surface off the helmet.
Certainly.
And the height there being half an inch, also where upon the helmet they're allowed to be. Mm. So we've just, I spent a lot of long nights reading the rule book and finding ways to create something that nobody else has. And
definitely.
But our engineers at the, you know, Kyle Kitzman, like I said, our boss, he's been here doing this for a lot longer than I have. And he's been able to work over the years with our internal engineers to develop parts that work. Mm-hmm. You know, so we don't have to keep bringing something new every year. You know, we know it works. We might have to adjust a little bit of where exactly we put it or to what extent. But our end's pretty well dialed in comparison to some of the others.
Yeah, it's like you're making small adjustments. You're not going back to the drawing board starting fresh each season.
Interesting.
Now, so talking about how much wear a helmet's allowed to have, I assume after a crash that helmet's done, depending.
Well, it all depends, right? I mean, everything depends on, there's, again, a ton more variables, right?
It's mm-hmm.
an IndyCar, we work great with them, and Jeff Horton and his inspection team. You know, he'll give us all the data we could ever want after a helmet, after a helmet hits. And
awesome.
You know, so we'll do things. We'll do physical inspections on the outside, inside. We can pull the liner. We can look for cracks. We can look for compressions in the foam. And 9 out of 10 times, everything's fine.
Gotcha.
Know? Every so often, if it's even the thought of being questionable, you just replace it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, for the level of commitment that we've given to our athletes into the sport, I'm not going to risk somebody's life over what I consider at this level something consumable, which is a helmet. Yeah. If there's any question, toss it.
Let's air on the side of safety.
Let's grab a new one. Mm-hmm. It is
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we make them every day. So,
how many helmets does your average IndyCar driver go through in a season? Just
4 or 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would not have thought that.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to look at it too. Like, you know, you'll have a street course helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You have a rain helmet.
Oh, yeah?
You have an oval helmet. You have a permanent road course helmet. You have your Indy-only helmet.
Really?
A lot of guys will do a special paint scheme, hide things in the paint for Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because they'll only wear them here, and they'll go home and put them on the shelf. That's kind of like the thing that shows, you know, they were a part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing, you know, you would think that the custom seat, you know, because it's literally attached to your butt, that's the most personal part of a race car for a driver, but it's not. No, it's the helmet.
Huh.
I mean, I get it. That's the part. I mean, that's the only part that they can kind of control and, like, have their little personality.
That's their thing, yeah. right? I mean, that is their one connection point, right?
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. I guess I didn't realize that you guys had different helmets for
permanent
road course, okay. street course. So yeah, what are the are the variables just, you know, like sight lines and different things like that?
No, honestly, it's just so the ovals tend to get kind of beat up a little bit more, so they'll want to wear the same one on every oval.
Gotcha.
The road course ones, they tend to get beat up less with debris, and unless you go off a lot or you're in the back and you're riding behind people that run out of talent. But then
I'm gonna have to use that.
Like the street races, you never know what's gonna get dropped on the street. So yeah, you never know when you're gonna get hit with rocks and whatever else.
Detroit, or when a pace car is gonna crash in front of you, or
yeah, of course. But yeah, so I mean that's really everything we do here in a nutshell.
Yeah, awesome.
That's cool. I really enjoy the Indy only because I mean the whole season is fantastic, obviously. But this place, you know, is a lot of people's first introduction into it,
Yeah, but I'll be honest, you know, I gotta say Toronto, Long Beach, Iowa, Texas. Texas has Buc-ee's, right? So how can you go wrong there?
You can't.
Road America has the best track food.
Oh yeah, they do.
You know,
yes, they do.
Yes.
Fried cheese.
Anywhere where there's where the RVs get to go,
it's fun.
I enjoy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Especially now that I'm not responsible for anything as far as putting on a radio.
There you go. You're good.
Yeah. Now, do you go back into a hotel or you stay out at the track the whole time?
Where?
Like when you go to like road courses and things.
Yeah, no, I don't camp.
No?
All right.
You're gonna say it like that.
No, okay? I can't
do
it. Like, camping for me, honestly, is like a hotel that has a door that opens to the parking lot.
Okay.
A roadway in.
Fair enough.
Which at Homestead, I've had to do that. Dover last year, got stuck there for the cup race. But I can't do it. Like motorhome, I'm all great with a motorhome.
Sure.
I camp once a year with a group of my buddies. We go down and we go camping once for like 4 days every year in October when nobody else is on the lake, and we go wake surfing.
Oh, nice.
That's really cool. Other than that, If Uber Eats isn't comfortable going there, either am I.
I like that. That's a good test.
That's a good test.
All right, who do you think's going? Come on. Now, you asked us who's getting bumped. I'm going to ask you the opposite.
Nikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We ask the hard-hitting questions.
I honestly think May 26th will go down in the history books as Ed Carpenter Day in the city of Indianapolis.
Boy. Ooh. It needs to happen.
Yes.
It needs to happen.
They're not even giving him a gold key. They're just going to rename it.
Just Edville?
Edville.
Yeah.
Eddie Annapolis. There you go.
Yes, Eddie Annapolis.
And then he's going to donate a kidney to Michael Kettlemark.
There you go.
And everybody's going to be happy.
I'm here for this.
All right, perfect.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
No, you guys rock.
We appreciate you keeping our drivers safe.
Yeah.
It's what I don't, you know, it's part of our job.
All right, good morning, race fans.
All seven of you?
All seven of you.
Here, I can hold this now. I'll hold it like this. Here we go.
All right, I've not hit record yet.
Darn it. Now you have.
Okay, so good morning, race fans. We have here today with us Dr. Jeffrey Billows.
Good morning.
Medical director for IndyCar for AMR. It's been quite the week for you guys.
It has been. It's been a busy week.
Yeah, probably busier than you guys like. You know, same. In my day job, I like a nice, boring shift.
Absolutely. We always prefer not to see any drivers
while
we're here, unless they just come in to say hi.
Absolutely. Although, I will say we've been pretty lucky this week that none of the drivers have been hurt really bad or anything like that. Everybody's been able to get back in the car, which is always a good thing.
That's absolutely true.
So, exciting day yesterday. Who are you rooting for in the last row shootout?
I like all the drivers.
And that's what I said. I said, it's so hard for me. I'm like, I'm going to be disappointed about all of them. Any one of them I'm going to be disappointed about.
That's great. You know, it's like your kids. You know, you can't favor any one of them. You might have some that are more favored at certain times than others, but overall, you like them all.
Yeah, I think we feel the same way.
How about pole?
Oh, yeah. Who do you think is going to get the pole?
Gosh, I don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if they can actually run the shootout today.
Yeah.
It depends on, you know, what the weather's going to do.
Which it looks a little dicey to the south of us.
Sure does.
Yeah. So everybody do some rain dances to keep it away. But yeah, I hope we can get the Fast 9 shootout in today, because that's always exciting.
That's my favorite.
It is very exciting.
You said that's your favorite?
It's my favorite, absolute favorite part of the whole weekend. It's the Fast 9 shootout. It's just a speed show, you know?
It is. Yeah.
It's a speed show.
And all three Ed Carpenter drivers are in, which they always qualify well here. They always are very entertaining during the Fast 9 shootout. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
So, it is hard to pick a favorite. Let's see. What do you think about Junkos? I say they're in the last row shootout, but... say, kind of piecing that car back together with help from other teams.
I know, it's just amazing the cooperation that you see around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you see it year after year.
Yeah, it was one of those things that I'm like, yep, that's what makes Indy is.
Absolutely.
Every team, big, small, is like, you know what, we understand.
And it was just amazing.
It's not recording.
Oh.
That's okay.
It was just amazing that Arrow got their backup car together so quickly.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I say the crowds just lost it when
it
came back out. Everybody just cheered and wanted to come. Yeah, but no, they did. They did some very fast work yesterday.
They did. So over the last 3 days, we've had some pretty significant crashes on the track. And, you know, in looking at those incidents, it's just a testament to how safe the cars have become, how well the what a great job the engineers have done in making the cars and the track safer for the drivers.
Absolutely. We talked about that the other day. And you can see on TV on the bottom of the car, they've got these holes now so that it's not just a giant sail. And because, we thought 5-10 years ago, all of those crashes would have ended with barrel rolls.
Oh, absolutely. And none of those cars, even though they're up almost to 90 degrees, none of those cars flipped over.
Not a single one, which is 100% a testament just to the safety and how much IndyCar prioritizes that.
And that's really what our focus is. We don't want to take care of drivers after they've crashed. We want to make sure, we want to prevent injury.
Absolutely.
In fact, we like to prevent crashes, but we know that probably won't happen, but we absolutely want to prevent injury and improve and promote safety in the motorsports industry.
Absolutely. Well, I'd say that you guys and IndyCar should feel very proud of themselves.
Yeah.
Because, all the crashes, and they looked so scary. Yeah. And you see all the drivers getting out.
Walking out.
It's just, again, we hate to see the crashes, but love to see the drivers be unharmed.
Absolutely. It amazes me every time I see that.
It is. It's pretty impressive. And especially, that's one of the things that I think is the craziest for, somebody that comes for the first time, a newbie, is that they see a crash like that and think, oh my gosh, are they gonna be, because it looks awful, but when you go in, you're like, oh no, it looks worse than it is actually because of this and this and this. But yeah, it can be very, very intimidating to see for the first time.
It sure can.
Okay. So today being not a race day, but almost like a race day, what kind of schedule do you guys have as far as like your prep beforehand and everything else? How to kind of walk us through what today's gonna be like for you?
Well, we have been here for a while. We got here earlier. We tried to make sure that the infield care center is open prior to gates opening, of course. And there's ambulance crews and medic crews here as soon as the garage is open. Actually, next weekend they'll be here 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
And we just gather our crews in the morning and have a brief discussion about what we might expect. And, you know, we make sure that we're stocked and we have all the supplies that we need to treat what we think might come in.
So with Infield Care Center being open 24 hours next weekend.
No, the Infield Care Center will be open.
No, I'm sorry.
There'll be ambulance.
Ambulance crews. Yeah. Let me, I was about to say, how long are you going to be here?
No, I won't be here 24 hours. Feels like it sometimes.
I was going to say, how long of a day was it for you yesterday?
It was pretty long. I was here at about 6 a.m. yesterday. Oof. and then of course, we're here till after all the activities are done.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Oh, God. So when this is all over, how are you going to relax? For like 2 days before you go to Detroit, right?
Yeah, it will be about 2 days. Actually, I'll have to go home and catch up on stuff that I couldn't do because I've been out here all month, like make sure the lawn is mowed, two dogs at home. And in fact, right now I have three because one of my daughters left her dog there last night. So of course we have to clean up after them.
Oh boy, yeah. And hope that the dogs recognize you. I get that this month when I come home, the dog's like, who are you again? Here's a treat, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, yeah, what you do is a lot of treat.
Yeah, that's it. I'm just buying love this month. It's okay. Right.
Same.
Yep. Yeah,
same with my cats. I come home and they're like, "Who are you, human?
Where did you come from?
You don't live here anymore. Huh? You're never home."
Yeah.
So, what's your favorite non-racing event during the month of May?
Oh gosh, the Rev is always an exciting.
That's really
place
cool.
To be is really a very very nicely very nicely put on event. To raise money for the foundation. So I enjoy the Rev.
Yeah, we got to go for the first time this year.
Yeah, what was your favorite?
I am shocked that this is your first time.
I know, right?
I know. They probably made a good choice in not letting us go all the time. What was your favorite food from it? Do you have one?
Gosh, I don't know. I ate at so many places. I mean, all I did was go around and eat.
Yeah.
I think I made a couple rounds through.
That's
all those
good,
places.
Though.
There were so many places there, it was impossible to try something from every place.
It really was. Yeah. No, that's, I think, the hardest part of the Rev event is making sure that you eat everything.
You know, there was the one place that was out there by the pit lane that had the dessert, had some kind of ice cream with...
Yes.
Yes,
the cookie and ice cream. That was
yes.
Good. Yes. Can we ask you what drink you enjoy the most?
You know, I tried several just a couple. You know.
Just a couple. A reasonable amount.
Right. And I don't know if I had any particular favorite.
Okay.
I think, you know, they do a nice job. All of them do a nice job.
They really do.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. Well... So you said you'll have ambulance crews here 24 hours, start next weekend. How early does your day start on race day next Sunday?
Oh, about 4:30.
Okay. Well, better than Doug Bowles.
Right?
He doesn't even get to bed that night. So.
No, he does not. He'll be up all night.
He'll be up all night.
I'm not sure that guy ever sleeps.
Honestly, he's got, there's some sort of weird magic
yes,
that he
thanks,
has.
Thanks, Gail.
He has so much energy. I'm just amazed every time I see him. And I tell you, I wish that I had the energy and the drive that he has.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah, it's extremely impressive.
Right.
Extremely impressive.
I was reminded that during the month of May, there's a great resident program that you put on. Can you talk a little bit about that? Yeah.
There is. We do a motorsports medicine and mass gathering medicine elective for upper level emergency medicine residents during the month of May. And I have seven residents with me this year. It's actually a very popular rotation for them, and we even get visiting house staff almost every year. We've got a resident from Texas this year who's with us. Last year we had a resident from Michigan. We've had people from New York, from Wisconsin. IU does not accept visiting residents from foreign countries, but we've had people come and just audit the rotation from foreign countries. We had a physician from Brazil last year. We had a couple from the UK.
Oh, cool.
As well.
That's really
awesome.
Cool.
Well, that is a great program. I mean, even if, you know, if you're just getting into motorsports and you work on the medical side, this is a cool place to be during the month. I think that's a wonderful program that you guys have.
It is, and they get experience on track with the track surface physicians, and they get experience in the pits with the pit medic crews.
Oh, cool.
And of course, on race day, they rotate through the snake pit.
Oh.
Now, is that is that like required for the program, or is that just some fun hazing that you guys do to keep it interesting?
You know, they all enjoy going out there and seeing the what goes on out there and seeing how we take care of people who have medical needs during the day.
Absolutely. There's one of our Twitter followers is coming to the 500 and is asking, you know, for suggestions of what to do, day of, and all this business. And somebody said, go to the snake pit, walk by, check it out, but not till 10 or 11. Lay need to marinate a little bit so you really enjoy the show.
That's good advice.
I thought so. I'm like, ooh, marinate is exactly the right word for what happens
for that group,
between
yes.
7 and 10 a.m. in the snake pit.
Well, you know, I mean, they're guests of the Speedway, and they're just out enjoying themselves and having a great day at the races, and that's really what we want to promote is people coming out here and having a good day and staying healthy and staying out of trouble, and we just try and keep people safe out here.
Absolutely, yep. Stay healthy, stay hydrated, right. Remember your sunscreen. If you forget,
we have it.
They have tons. They are happy to share. Nobody wants you to have heat exhaustion.
No.
That's true.
All right, well, any final thoughts? We'll let you get back to work.
Okay, well, thanks for having me out here. It's always fun talking to you guys.
Thanks, Dr. Bellows. We appreciate you.